This is the Epilogue audio experience.
Hello friends, I am Coral Dasgupta, founder of Tell Me Your Story and author, here with my podcast show, The Great Indian Family, in collaboration with Epilogue Media. You can listen to the podcast on epilogue.media. You can also hear us on Spotify, JioSaavn, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, CastBox, and all other podcast apps. Today, I'm sitting with Vivek Tejuja, the culture editor of Verve magazine and author. Welcome to the show,
Thank
Vivek.
You. Thank you, Cora.
Okay, Vivek, so as you know that this is a completely family show, so how did your childhood look like and how was the family?
It was just like any other regular childhood, really, but not regular in a sense. I think just being a part of a joint Sindhi family in south of Bombay, things were more or less easy. There was a privilege that I will not ignore. And there was the usual growing up. But growing up, you don't think about privilege. You don't think about anything.
Absolutely.
It's just growing up. It's childhood for you. And that's what it was. It wasn't the ideal kind of childhood, but it was nonetheless a more or less an okay childhood.
Okay. So you had a lot of members in your family?
Oh, yeah. My chachas, my chachis, my cousins, my bua. So, yeah. Okay. It was the entire jing bang.
You guys must have had a bang of time, yeah?
Yeah, well, and with so many members, their own prejudices, their own biases, their own opinions, sometimes not, come to the fore. But like I said, when you're growing up, you don't realize all this.
Yes.
It's only after a certain age you start thinking of it. Yeah, and you start thinking. So, yeah.
So, Vivek, I'll take this from whatever I read in your book.
Yeah, sure.
And a little bit that you had been talking about off late. And I really want to know what is the family angle of that part of being, which is about being homosexual or being gay. So, when is it that a child realizes that he isn't responding to the opposite gender like others?
See, I don't think, I'm not an expert. I'm not a child psychologist.
From your angle, your perspective.
From my perspective, I was 8 when I realized that I'm gay.
You were 8?
Yeah, or I don't have inclination towards women or girls. Or
isn't that pre-puberty?
Yeah, it is pre-puberty. So it happens early for some. It happens late for some. So like I said, I can't.
So it is not puberty related?
Well, I don't know. Okay. There's so many gay people out there, right? So I don't know that who reacts in what way, to what stimuli for that matter. And how fast you develop or grow internally or physically or emotional maturity. So wasn't there. So I won't take it that far. But physically I knew.
Okay.
And somewhere I think that distinction was coming out as I started growing older and seeing that and noticing that and perhaps even acknowledging about myself. So I think there's no set age as such, or there's no set time. It just depends on the person.
Totally. I understand.
So yeah.
And how did you respond to it?
As usual, there was confusion, there was fear, there was a lot of apprehension. I don't even know what emotion to give it at that time, because there was just confusion and fear mainly. That, okay, I am different. And I didn't know anybody else around me who felt like this, and I didn't want to tell anyone else. Because I knew that it was something that wasn't responded with kindness or with empathy.
Or people probably won't understand.
Perhaps. And that came later. Like, see, at 8, I didn't even... At eight or nine, I wasn't even thinking. I just probably brushed it off. Because, you know, who thinks about all this at that age? But I think at 10, 11, as I grew older, I realized that, you know, that you can't tell these things to people. So, yeah.
And was there any person in the family that you could go to clear the confusion? Or
nobody? Nobody at all. No, you can't.
No family, no one?
Friends? No friends either. No. Not that young. I think if I confided in friends, it was later in college. And that too, like, later years of college. And then in my 20s, I started telling friends. But not before that.
And was that taken kindly, or did they...
Friends understood. Okay, friends were kind. Friends were nice about it. Friends didn't discriminate. A couple of them did, but then that I was expecting anyway. Given my proximity with them or knowing them, I knew this would happen. But then that's all right. That's just part of you know, being.
Absolutely. So, when your family came to know about it, what role did your family play during this phase? Or did they at all play any role?
They played a role, yes. But the role wasn't positive.
Hmm.
Like, they took me to a psychiatrist. Like, you know, isko theek kar do. Things like that. Oh, you're not gay. In denial.
Hmm.
My parents, my mother,
hmm.
my uncles, my aunt.
Especially because you belong to a joint family and it's very difficult to, in that kind of a setup, to establish.
Yeah, of course, of course. And then
with two people, you are far more at liberty.
Yeah, but even then you're not, right? Because, again, parents will never want their child to be... Now it may be different, but I don't even know if now it's different or not.
No, it's nothing different.
How
the first reaction is always shock.
Exactly. So I think that was there. And that has only changed over a lot of years.
Hmm.
After a lot of years, not suddenly.
Of course.
A lot of conditioning has had to change.
Hmm.
So yeah. So they didn't play any major role as such. If they did, it was more towards not understanding than towards understanding.
Mm-hmm. And did you play a role in trying to explain? Or
No.
You just withdrew?
I just withdrew. There was nothing to explain really. I didn't want to explain anything. Because then I was also being a rebel and I said, like, you know, no, I'm not going to explain anything to them.
Mm.
If they don't get it, then they'll never get it.
And it's probably a lot personal, right? I mean,
yes.
You don't want people to talk about it. Or
actually, I did want people to talk about it, but nobody was willing to talk to me about it.
Okay. So, Vivek, for most people in society, their child being gay or lesbian is a matter of great shock, even if they have been immensely broad-minded otherwise. I understand what you have left behind. But today, if I ask you that with whatever past you have had, today, if you can tell a family that what role they can and should play in their child's life, what would you say?
I think first you need to understand your child and where your child is coming from. Mm-hmm. I think you also need to read up. And today, in the age of internet, and you have Netflix and you have Amazon Prime and you have so many shows and you have so many books and you have, you know, things to educate you. Educate yourself. It's not the child's responsibility to educate you. It's your responsibility to educate yourself. And instill that confidence in your child that you're there no matter what.
Mm.
Even if you don't agree, even if you are not on the same page, at the end of the day, it's still your child. You're still the child's parent.
Mm.
What makes you not, you know, be there? Even if you're not supportive, but at least you can tell your child that you're there. I think it's very important to do that and to be kind to your child. I mean, it's so easy to say that when it comes to somebody else's kid that, you know, I'm so forward and I'm so modern and I'm so whatever, whatever.
Exactly.
But where does all this go when it's your child?
Exactly.
Why do you have such expectations? And it's got nothing to do with you because it's not your life. In fact, I think you need to be a protective cushion for your child because it's their life.
Totally.
You know, I mean, you need to understand. You need to tell your child that, you know, don't let bullies at school get to you. I'm there for you. Or don't let bullies in life generally get to you. I'm there for you. I think it's so important to have those real conversations with children. I mean, and today also, you know, when people talk about sex education with their children, they never talk about same-sex education. Why not?
Yeah.
Why it always, you know, only
one,
about a man and a woman?
Kind,
exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, we are different in so many ways and with gender fluidity and so many terminology and so many orientations on the scene. I think we should talk about all of them.
Absolutely.
We should talk about lesbians, gays, bisexuals, transsexuals, asexuals, all of it on the spectrum. And it's not just one thing. Who knows? For all you know, your child may not even just be gay. The child might be transgendered or feel a certain way.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, or maybe asexual, but doesn't know how to tell you.
I feel that I being a straight, right, or many people like me being a straight, will probably in the first cases not even understand the kind of signals that are coming our way in case the child feels that he is not straight or she is not straight. In that case, which are the things to look out for or be careful about?
I think first you need to make a child comfortable that whenever he or she wants to, you know, they want
they can
to come
talk
out
anything
to you.
To us.
Exactly. If you build that environment and you build that conducive environment, then you don't need signals. The child will come and tell you.
Okay.
I think it's so important. And we are in 2020. I mean, for God's sake, the child should be able to come and tell you that, you know, what orientation they are leaning towards.
Mm.
And it's so important Absolutely. That we have such conversations.
When I think of it, I feel that often the behavior, a child's behavior is very peer-driven. So in spite of the fact that many of us parents today are trying to be extremely open and extremely friendly to our children, their withdrawal might come from whatever they see around them and not from whatever we want them to do or give them the space for.
Sure. But then, like, again, see, and I'll give you a very simple example.
Right.
You're watching something in front of a child. Your child is about 14. Okay. And you're watching a movie which has a couple of sex scenes or a couple of same sex scenes between two men, two women or whatever. And you immediately, your instinct should not be to turn off the channel or switch the channel.
Mm.
Sit there. Watch that with your child. Mm. Have a conversation about it. I mean, how else, you know, do you tune the child's head and emotions that it's okay. It's all right.
Perfect.
Our first reaction is to switch it off. And we are so uncomfortable. We are so squirmish. We don't want to talk about these things. These are not living room conversations when they should be. Because, you know, there's no stigma. There shouldn't be any stigma. And if there's stigma in your own household about who you are, well then, what can you say about
confusion.
A household like that?
True that.
And not only confusion, I think it's just sad.
Mm.
I mean, you know, if you can't expect this much from a parent, then what can you expect?
True that. The families of many homosexual families, I have seen that they get them forcibly married to the opposite gender because they think everything will be fine post-marriage. And many of them successfully fake a very happy married life. Would you like to tell us what kind of suffering is that internally?
See, I don't know. I'm not,
of course,
I'm not
I know.
Married.
I mean,
so I can't say, I can't
you know,
talk about this suffering.
What I'm trying to do, Vivek, is trying to give a perspective.
No, sure. But see, Coral, I'm single.
I know that.
And I mean, I'll never get married and I'll never, ever. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I do know of men who are in such relationships.
Both men and women.
I don't know about women again because I don't seek women. And I don't know a friend who's perhaps lesbian and married. So I'm not sure. I don't know. But I do know of men who are gay and married. And they're not happy, of course. And they'll always do things on the side. And they'll always hide. And they'll always lie. And they'll always not cheat. But they will do this because it's their life.
Mm.
And this again rounds about to parenting. And it's got nothing to do with anything else but parenting.
Yeah, usually they're forced into the marriage. Why will someone
why should you be forced?
Exactly.
And if you don't have that kind of conviction that your parents will understand, then well, again, see, it's again coming back to that. I mean, so I don't know. Their suffering will be really, really, I can't even imagine what they must be going through. It's not easy.
True that.
But some of us make our own choices and we live.
True that. According to you, who is the most inspiring homosexual couple? And this I ask not only in terms of how good they look together, but also about how well they have handled themselves in the society and the framework they may have built for others.
See, I can just think of Menaka Goswami and Arundhati Katchu, who I absolutely adore. And they were the lawyers who defended and brought 377 out and down.
True.
So they are my, and not in terms of a couple, but to me individually as well. They're very strong personalities and they are my inspiration. And I look up to them because they have done so much for the community at large and True. Been there and fought the fight. So I think, yeah.
You have answered it.
Yes.
Okay. Vivek, if I may ask this, you always have the right to say that you don't want to answer.
Of course.
But what is the most insensitive thing that you have ever been told?
See, I don't know what's the most insensitive because it keeps flying about. And right now, I've got a very thick skin since the last 10 years.
That's very sad that you had to develop a thick skin because...
Yeah, but you know, there's nothing... You have to live your life.
Mm.
I cannot be bothered.
Mm.
Because if I'm bothered about this, then I lose the bigger picture.
You lose the mental peace.
Yeah, and I lose the bigger picture. I want to pick my battles and these are not the battles I want to fight.
Mm.
This is just somebody calling me a faggot is not a battle I want to fight.
True.
Yes, I'll go and explain. But I stopped doing that because then I started ignoring.
Mm.
Yeah, if that happens to someone else who's probably younger, who probably is not so privileged, who probably cannot ignore, who has a tough time, I will fight for that person if it happens in front of me. And I will tweet about it if I see it happening on the internet. Mm-hmm. And I will put that bully to shame, and I'll, you know, ensure that that doesn't happen to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, as far as I'm concerned as an individual, the skin is too thick to penetrate. So nobody can get there and nobody can say anything that will bother me so much. After all, it's just words.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
no, you know, I think that those should be pointed out, because I remember one of my friends, not a friend, a social media friend, he had written something about the LGBT community, and I had commented something very much from a nice perspective, you know, not from a sarcastic perspective. And quite some 10, 15 people came together and said that what I had written was very insensitive. So it was quite a shocker for me that maine kuch acha bolne ki koshish ki thi, you know. So at times I feel that there is that mismatch where, and it is not that I'm trying to blame that person. I'm trying to say that that person wo tal tal ke nikla hai.
No, then my point is, if, even if somebody wants to comment or say something, then educate yourself first. Even if it comes Absolutely. From a good place or a well-meaning space.
Absolutely.
Educate yourself. We have access to the internet. There should be no excuse that I wasn't aware. I didn't know. Because you have to literally just sit in front of a screen and read.
Or rather just shut up and understand that, okay, he's coming from something.
You can listen to a podcast, you can watch something, you'll get the education. Or just shut up, if that's what it is. But I don't care about slurs or comments. I'm like, okay, I'm done. Honestly, I mean, it does bother me sometimes, but not to that extent that I'll remember and give them that kind of importance by remembering and talking about it again. Not to that extent, no.
True. The final question, Vivek. Tell us about the most impactful inclusivity and diversity program that you may have witnessed, which was structured for the LGBT community. The reason behind it is we would want others to take note or learn if they want to.
So now recently Tata has got the LGBT QI policies for the employees. And they have HR policies around them. And people can come out at work and talk about without being judged or without being under the bias screen.
It's a very powerful
So I think that is
done.
Extremely powerful what they've done. And hats off to Tata for doing that. And Godrej is also doing it.
I know.
There's a Godrej Culture Lab.
Since long.
Yeah, exactly. By Prathamesh Sahani.
Yeah.
And he's doing a very good job. Parmesh Sahani. Not Prathamesh, Parmesh. And he's doing a great job of it.
And he's been very vocal since
a
very long time.
I think these two organizations that are literally the cornerstone of our country. If they are doing it, I don't see any other reason or any other excuse. My multinationals who come here or startups cannot do this.
True.
So there you go.
Thank you so much, Vivek. It was lovely talking to you. This
was
a very special episode. And I learned a lot. And I hope that people who listened to it understood where it comes from and why we are doing this or why we are discussing this.
Thanks a lot, Koral. It was a pleasure.
Totally.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Thank you, audience, for being a part of the fun. Hope you enjoyed our show, The Great Indian Family. Don't forget to share your feedback. Write to Bonjour, Bonjour, at epilogue.media. We will address them all. Do send us your feedback on Twitter using the hashtag TheGreatIndianFamily. Leave us a review rating on Apple Podcast and make sure to subscribe to the show. We will come back again next Sunday. Till then, let's rock.